Good morning and welcome to St. James. Today we celebrate the third Sunday of Easter, and it's great to have all of you joining us from all over the place. We really enjoyed, as best we can, having Mass online, and I hope you're aware you can find many of our past Masses on our website, and you can catch up on things like the Triduum and Easter Sunday in case you were technologically challenged that day, as some of us were. We also invite you to check out some of the other things that are happening at St. James during the week, and you can read about that on our website, stjameswabash.org. So we'll begin today with our opening song, Christ is Risen, Shout Hosanna, and go ahead and sing from home. Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate this day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In the desert all surrounding, see a spreading tree has grown, healing leaves of grace abounding, bring a taste of love unknown. Christ is risen, raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning, see what love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection, not a servant but a friend. Jesus is our strong companion, joy and peace shall never end.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with your spirit.
And what a blessing we have. We can gather even virtually on this third Sunday of Easter. And we're going to be taking a walk today, a walk on the road toward Emmaus, a walk with Jesus, a walk where we're going to discover new things about ourselves and about our faith. So let's turn to the Lord today and bring all that we are, all the strangeness of this time, into our prayer as we ask today for God to bless us and to give us the gifts we need, the gift of grace and the gift of mercy. Lord Jesus, you raised the dead to life in the spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy, forgive our sin, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
God in the highest.
God in the highest. Glory, glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace to people of goodwill. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father. Glory, glory to God in the highest. Glory, glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace to people of goodwill. Amen.
And let us pray. Let us pray that the Spirit of God will sustain us in these difficult times. Let us pray that Jesus, our brother, will walk with us on our journey of faith. And let us pray that the joy of the Easter season can fill our hearts. May your people exalt forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless people to cruelly crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld. You will suffer your holy ones to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers and sisters, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried. And his tomb is in our midst until this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn a pact to him, an oath to him, that God would set one of his descendants upon his throne, David foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor that his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured him forth as you see and hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially according to one's works, a reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially, according to each one's works, conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that you were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as that of a spotless, unblemished lamb. He was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples was going to a village 7 miles to Jerusalem called Emmaus. They were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looked downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who do not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He replied to them, "What sort of things?" they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all people." Now our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since it took place. Some women from a group, however, had astounded us. They were at the tomb earlier in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported, "They have indeed seen the vision of angels. They announced that he is alive." Then some of those who went to the tomb found things as the women had described and said to them, "They did not see him." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish are you? How slow at heart to believe that the prophet spoke. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" In the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village in which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in and stayed with them. And it happened that while he was with them at the table, he took bread and said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once, returning to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those of them who were saying, "The Lord has truly has been risen. He has appeared to Simon." And the two had recounted what had taken place on the way. And now he was making known to them in the breaking of the bread. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in your soul and sings a tune without words that does not stop at all. Hope, according to Emily Dickinson. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it is hard to kill, according to Whitney Houston. In 1988, when Jesse Jackson was running for president, he had as kind of the theme of his campaign, "Hope never fails. So keep hope alive." And in 2008, when Barack Obama was running for president, there was an iconic poster created by Shepard Fairey with a picture of the candidate, and then at the bottom in big block letters, the word "hope." It seems that our species needs hope. It is because of hope for her child that a pregnant woman puts up with all of the difficulty and the problems entailed in giving a child to birth. It is because of hope for his family that a father will work 2 and 3 jobs to care for them. It is because of hope for the future that a student will burn the midnight oil instead of going to that party. Hope is the ability to envision a better future. And that is what drives our activities. Which helps to explain why dashed hopes are so devastating. That powerful line from Langston Hughes, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or does it explode? The gospel story today tells of Cleopas and his companion, no doubt Mrs. Cleopas, expressing their dashed hopes. They said to this unrecognized companion on their journey, when they were speaking of Jesus, they said, we were hoping that he would be the one who would redeem Israel. We were hoping, but now that future has been taken from us. We were hoping, but now it's not going to happen. We were hoping, but all that's left is dust and ashes. And then this unrecognized companion says to them, he says, you are so foolish. You don't know anything about hope. The Bible, according to St. Luke, then goes on to tell us that Jesus, this unnamed companion, was able then to tell them the story of hope as spread out through the history of salvation, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. We don't know the content of that little mini Bible class that Jesus held on the road there, but we can imagine what he said. We can imagine he said something like, well, Abraham had hoped that he could have a nice place where he can have his flocks and live in peace. But God had a bigger hope for him. God had a hope that he would become the father of many nations, the father of faith. The Hebrew children had hoped that when they went to Egypt, they would be able to escape famine and live comfortably. But that didn't work so well. But God had a bigger hope for them, and Moses led them out of slavery into freedom. The Israelites had hoped that with the coming of King David and the conquering of the enemies, that their country would be secure. But after unrest and civil war and even exile, they needed the bigger hope that God had. The hope that they wouldn't just be a nation for themselves, but would be a light for the world. And the Jewish people hoped that they would get their freedom from their first Greek and then Roman oppressors. But God had a bigger hope. God hoped for them. Liberation from fear. Forgiveness of sin, and yes, deliverance from death itself through the suffering Messiah. It seems, church, that our hopes are too small, that God has bigger hopes for us, hopes that we might have life to the full. During these strange days, we probably have hope in common. We all hope that one day we'll be able to get out of this staying in place, staying at home, and get to enjoy each other's company again. It's a good hope to have. We have a lot of other hopes associated with it. We hope that we don't get sick. We hope that no one that we know or love gets sick. We hope that the children are, in fact, learning something through this online program. We're hoping that our money holds out till the economy gets back in shape. We're hoping that those of us who are feeling isolated, or those of us who are feeling a little too, with too much companionship, the people we're stuck with, don't go too nutso in the next couple of weeks. We're hoping that the scientists and the officials will make good decisions that lead to a vaccine, that lead to better testing, that lead to a cure. We're hoping that one day soon we will be able to gather again in church and celebrate that God has called us once more and bestowed upon us divine healing and divine grace and divine peace. These are all very good hopes. But I wonder if the story of Emmaus does not ask us to have bigger hopes. Hopes that might stem from God. Hopes that might lead us to life to the full. Maybe we should have hope for a burning heart. That's what happened to the Cleopas family. As they walked around down that road, they received burning hearts. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says that they talked to one another and they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke on the road?" We all know, actually, how to get burning hearts. Every song written for the last 1,000 years tell us it's about love, right? That's how you get a burning heart. You know, love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. And I fell into that burning ring of fire. So if we want to have burning hearts, we have to love. And the Bible says we have to love God and love our neighbor. And we know that we love God when we're willing to get over ourselves and our own agenda and instead trust that God's plan for us is the true path to happiness. And we know that we're called to love our neighbors, those that look like us and those that don't look like us, those that we agree with and those that we disagree with, those that are capable and those who aren't. So we, it seems to me, have to have that bigger hope.
Parent.
That bigger hope of loving as God wants us to love, with compassion, with forgiveness, with generosity. And maybe we have to hope that we come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread, as happened in that little house in Emmaus. We are being forced during these days to fast from receiving Holy Communion, something that we have been accustomed to doing, and that can create in us this hunger for divine intimacy. We ordinarily kind of take receiving communion for granted. And the fact that we haven't been able to receive, maybe should remind us that God wishes to live with us, that Jesus wishes to come to us, that God is nearer to us than we are to ourselves. So maybe the bigger hope that God has for us is that we will understand that we are God's people and that Jesus wishes to dwell in our hearts. And then maybe we have to hope that we can join with those early Christians and Christians throughout the ages and be able to say, "It is true, the Lord has been raised." Because when we say that Easter story is true, what we're really saying is that there is no reason to fear death. And if there's no reason to fear death, there's no reason to fear life. Because of Easter, we know that even the fact that we're in a pandemic, even the fact that despite the pandemic, or no matter the pandemic, we are all facing death one day. But that does not daunt us. That does not frighten us. But in fact, we can live secure with hope because we know that in God, all will be well. And maybe what this teaches us is that Easter, resurrection, is the greatest hope, the biggest hope of all. Amen. So, church, during this Easter season, we like to remind ourselves that who we are and whose we are is given to us at baptism. And God named us and claimed us, and that God has called us to be his very own people. So with confidence then, let's turn to the Lord and renew now the vows of our own baptism so we can remember ourselves as the chosen people of God. To remember God's gift to us, God's blessing to us that we received at our baptism. And now let us offer up our prayers and petitions. We pray for the Holy Church of God in all the world, encountering Christ and renewing our faith every time we break the bread of the Eucharist. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those in the world who are persecuted and oppressed, that they might know relief, justice, and peace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those among us who are depressed or despondent or in mourning, that they might recognize Christ in each of us as we reach out to them in compassion, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For travelers and for immigrants, and for all those who are refugees, may they experience Christ in the welcome they receive, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of humanity, that the pandemic will end with the least amount of hardship, disruption, and loss of life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of St. James, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord,
hear our prayer.
And for all the prayers we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in our book of prayers, and for all the needs of our parish and community and all of you, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hear all these prayers, Heavenly Father. We make them in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth, work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life.
Blessed be God forever.
And by the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself and shares in our humanity. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine, work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink.
Blessed be God forever.
So let us pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice from our hands, for the praise, the glory of God's name, for our good and the good of all his holy church.
Receive, O Lord, we pray, these offerings of your exalted church, and as you give us cause for such great gladness, grant that the gifts we bring may bear fruit in perpetual happiness through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation at all times, to acclaim you, O Lord. But in this time, above all, to laud you yet more gloriously when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. He never ceases to offer himself for us, but defends us and pleads our cause before you. He is the sacrificial victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise. And even the heavenly powers with the angelic host sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, O Lord. You are the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your spirit upon them like the dewfall, that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread. And giving you thanks, he said a blessing. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we might be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring us to the fullness of charity, together with Pope Francis and Cardinal Blaise and all your holy people. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. And have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with her husband Saint Joseph, the blessed apostles, Saint James, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son Jesus, who gives us every good gift. For through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
And may the peace of Jesus be with you always.
And with your spirit.
And we give each other the wave of peace.
The wave. The wave.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace, grant us peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof,
but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life.
Amen.
If we could pray then together our prayer of spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
I shall see God on the last day.
I shall see my God. On the last day, I shall rise again.
Let us pray. Look kindly with your upon your people, Lord, and grant, we pray, that those you are pleased to renew by eternal mysteries may attain in our flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Immediately after we say goodbye to each other after Mass today, there's going to be a little discussion we want to have about the disproportionate impact that the coronavirus is having on the communities of people of color. There's a separate link, so if you go back to the email that Amy sent on Friday, you can find the link there and some information about our discussion that we'll have just a few minutes after we conclude today. So it should be very interesting and informative. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
God's blessing upon us all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us go in peace and live the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia.
Be to God, alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia. to the Lord. Praise God's name with our joyful shouts. Enter in with our joyful hearts to the God of our salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. Alleluia, alleluia. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth now rejoice and sing. Let the fields and the trees cry out, and the oceans thunder praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. Alleluia, alleluia.
Also, as a reminder, Amy posted the meeting in the chat.